Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I apologize for the slight delay there. Oh, boy, what a day. You've just listened to the tyrannical our national anthem, Elohim Five Tribes, Society of Love. You can go to our website and check things out. Normally, we talk about love for 5 minutes, but for some reason, we lost a couple of minutes on the show, so it's okay. We're going to get into this show a little different than we normally do. Cause normally we go about it a certain way, but this was going to be just a little different, all right? Stay in Genesis because there's so much information in Genesis about who you are, what you're capable of, what's going on, you know? And that's why Genesis is such a big book for me. And those of you who don't know how to read Genesis, it's a complicated mess, you know? Let's talk for a minute about King James. King James put out his version of the book. Why are we so entrenched, or rather the 1%, so entrenched with the copy that King James put out? You know, King James was not also the King of Britain, but he also Rhode Island. He was the sixth King of Ireland, but the first Irish King, Britain. So this is very interesting. You know, we're letting you know that blacks rule the entire planet. We rule the entire planet. We're taking over Britain, Ireland, Spain, and all that. That was a big deal. Big deal, you know? And that's what's going on right now. Nobody wants to be under anybody else's rule. And I can't blame them. The white tribe, they don't want to be ruled by blacks no more. The black tribe, they're tired of being ruled by whites because they've been treating blacks pretty badly over the last 90 years. And a little longer than that. So it seems like those that are in charge have a way of turning people into slaves and indentured servants, and because they want to be who they are. I mean, you have to think about who they are. That's why I like Genesis so much, because Genesis is a big book, you know, and that's why I'm getting into King James for a minute. So we, you know, we don't think that much of King James, but King James was a bad boy. He knew what power was. He understood power. And that's why he rearranged the book so that if you understood the codes of the book, you would never be out of power. You would know how to get power. Now, we've been getting money, but we ain't been getting no power. So we have to, it's a step-by-step chronological methodology that King James set up so that we could read and come back to power, because the man knew what was coming. He saw the writing on the wall. He knew that blacks was going to lose power on the planet. He saw the way it was going, especially when we embraced Islam. Because once we embraced Islam, that gave, that put another code. That's what do you call it? A cult. See, Islam is a cult. Christianity is a cult. Once we embraced the cult practitioner, see what I'm saying? That gave, it took, took our power from us, you know? And once you do that, the occult, let's just deal with this occult thing for a second, all right? Because that's important. When we say cult, somebody think it's some kind of bad or double worship or something weird or, you know, going on, but the occult practitioner is the stories, okay? Understand this. When somebody tell a story about you, they're occulting you, not assaulting you. They're occulting you. The occult practitioner portion of the book is the stories. And we have been following the occult practitioner portion of the Bible. Reverend literally deal with what brings us the power. We're arguing over the stories when we literally should be dealing with the power. This is why somebody has their foot on our neck, okay? Now, you can't tell me that King James didn't understand power. He was a man that ruled Ireland and Britain. So he knew what power was. He knew what power looked like. So he set the book up in a systematic methodology if you understood the code and what the man was trying to do to bring you back the power, or to make sure that you understood how power works, so that nobody would ever have their foot on your neck again. Now, you got to remember, when the Europeans came here, they didn't come here with no picket sign begging the Indians for some of their land. They came here with guns, biological weapons, and stories, lies, okay? They were their civilization, okay? There's lies based from a civil point of view, which is spiritual, okay? You look up civil law. It's all about the religious portion, the laws of Moses and all that stuff, you know? They're not giving us the proper information so that we can get out of this mess. That's why we're here, okay? In order to get out of the mess, but it goes a little further than just getting out of this mess, because we destroyed the surface of Mars, all right? I know I'm throwing that in there. We destroyed the surface of Mars because the tribes were fighting one another, you know? Let's start with that code. The code is so important. That's the first thing that you really have to deal with, you know? Who are you? That's why the Egyptians put on the hieroglyphics, know thyself. If you don't know who you are, you don't know what you can do, okay? This is why they're twisting the knowledge, twisting the information, so that you can't come to the right decisions of what you're supposed to do and what you're supposed to be about, okay? When we say God, okay, the King James and the crew, they knew that men and women were God. They knew that there's no powerful entity on this planet other than men and women. What makes us so powerful? We are designers. They run this little game, designism versus Darwinism. Evidence speaks for itself. Now, you know, the Europeans, they know words. They know these words. Each word is very important. If the Darwinian theory was something that they could prove, why did they use the term theory? If the Darwin theory of evolution, a theory is an idea that can't be proven. Science is the methodology of study. That's what science is, okay? Now, when they put the scientific methodology on Darwin's theory, and they still call it a theory because it doesn't prove out all the way to the end. There's too many missing pieces in it, all right? When you get into the code, all right, I'm just going to explain the difference between Darwinism and designism, okay? How the Bible, through the code, gives us the difference between designism and Darwinism. Psalm 82 says, all right, you are all God. That just means that you are designers. It doesn't mean that you can snap your fingers and the sun fall out of the sky. That's not how it works. It doesn't mean that you sit up on a chair someplace. Well, we're getting to that point that you can judge and watch everything everybody's doing. That's what we call them, Big Brother. We call them Big Brother now. They got cameras everywhere, satellites in the sky. You understand? There's no chair up there. There's a satellite up there watching down on you, okay? See what I'm saying? There's nothing spooky about this, because once you know who you are, everything makes sense. I'm a God. I'm a designer. That means if I have a problem with anything, I can sit down, figure it out, and design my way out of it. That's the key to the whole thing. You have to know what you're capable of, all right? If men and women are God, and it says in the scriptures, God made the heavens and the earth, that means at one time we had the technological know-how to make planets. You follow what I'm saying? So when you hear people get caught up in, my DNA says I'm from Africa, I'm 3 parts Spanish and 4 parts Mongolian, you know what I mean? That's a trap, tricking you into, locking into the physical more than the spiritual, because the spiritual side of you, that's where your power is. You hear them say, well, as you can beat a man down, but as long as you don't break his spirit, he can rise. You know what I'm saying? As long as your spirit, as long as that spiritual side of you is strong, I don't care what they do to you or what they bring on you, you can rise above anything, anything. It don't make no difference. Once you know who you are, see, these are the lessons that we have to give to the children. It's a reason why they put a God in front of you that look like them and say, well, we're praying to this God. But the God that they put in front of you is telling you, he that eats of me will become a son indeed, and greater works than I do will you do. The man that they put in front of you is telling you, okay, you can do more than me. How can you do more than me if you're not where he was? Okay, Yeshua knew who you were. He knew what was going on. That's why when he told him, teach us how to pray, Master, he said, our Father. He didn't say my Father. He said, our Father. Because he knows that we're all made of energy. Energy comes from source. Incorporeal energy formed in flesh is what gives us the God-like stature, or we can design stuff. All right? We have the ability to make planets. We still do. All right? Oh, the moon. The moon is a satellite. We have satellites up there now. We're off this planet, all right? Because we're no longer in the thought process of men and women. Anytime somebody ties you back to nature, they tie you into your man and womanhood. You're born men and women, not children, not kids. Billy Goat. You're born men and women, and you grow into what is called a God. That's what's going on. You grow into a designer. Once you are able to design things, nothing in the universe can hold you or slow you down. You become unlimited. Think about this for a minute, okay? In the Darwinian teaching, they tell you that man came from apes. That's what it said, okay? I'm not making this up. That's what he said. So nature has a tendency to duplicate things over and over and over. When was the last time an ape turned into a man? Okay? To prove that it happened the first time. It didn't, because it didn't happen the first time. So naturally, it's not going to happen a second time if it didn't happen the first time. You see what I'm saying? It's a lot of it is just common sense, too. Now let's deal with designism. Are we designing stuff? Have we been designing stuff? Do you think we're going to ever stop designing things? Okay. We came here as designers, and we're going to leave here as designers. They were saying, men and women can't go against nature. Okay. Go outside. You don't believe me? To prove my point, go outside, flap your arms, and try to fly like a bird. Not going to happen. It's not natural for men and women to fly like birds. But for God, rising above nature, it's natural for us to fly better than the bird, faster than the bird, higher than the bird, greater than the bird, because we're great, because all of those things on the planet come from us, came out of our DNA. Here's this question they be throwing around all the time. They throw this question around all the time. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Knowing who you are, I'm a God. I'm going to make the chicken. Why would I make the egg first? It don't even make sense. You know what I'm saying? The egg can't take care of itself. It can't, the egg has to stay warm. Mama hen got to sit on the egg for the egg to hatch. So why in the world would I make the egg first? Okay? So if I didn't make the egg first, where in the world did the chicken come from? The chicken came from your DNA. When they get into the subatomic structure of your DNA, there's designs in there for every living thing on the planet, for grass, for trees, for flowers, all the animals, the fish in the sea. All of those things were designed from your DNA. Now, they're having a problem with that because they haven't reached into the subatomic level of the DNA structure. You follow what I'm saying? They're into the RNA and, you know, and whatever's going on down there. And talking about the building blocks of making protein and all that. This is what they're saying. We're brought about the RNA to trying to convince people, okay, of some kind of Big Bang theory where everything just started on its own. Nothing was designed. It just happened like that, you know? But, you know, that don't even make sense. Here you got guys with 8 years of college, okay, with 2-3 degrees, talking about it just happened. You know, and I asked them the question, the combination of chemicals that you talk about that will produce the RNA, okay, which is the part of the protein, the building blocks of life. Nowhere on the planet are those chemicals found together. Nowhere on the planet. So if you can't find them nowhere on the planet, how did it happen in the first place? It couldn't. That couldn't happen without God bringing those chemicals together and putting it in motion. You know what I'm saying? You know, this is what racks my brain all the time. You know, they're coming to conclusions, trying to base it on a Darwinian theory when the theory has not been proven. If it was proven, they wouldn't call it a theory. Now, they have some facts to fit the theory, but the facts don't pan out all the way through. They come through the animal kingdom, and they run into something that looks like a platypus. You know, where did this thing come from? You know what I'm saying? And they talk about how the, what do you call it, those dinosaurs and was killed before man and all that. And then they found fossils with men and dinosaurs together. Darwinism, out the window. There's so many things in that structure that they're talking about that the archaeologists have found that just kicks that right out the window, you know? They can't explain how the pyramids was made. You know what I'm saying? How are they going to go back? They want to go back. Oh, the dinosaurs was here 16 million years ago, and we had thought. Duh. They're using carbon dating. Carbon dating is the worst methodology to date anything, okay? They have to use the dating from dark matter. They don't know how to do that yet. I'm talking about something that they can't do that right now. Now, they know dark matter's out there, right? In some of the Star Trek movies, but they call it subspace. But they know dark matter's out there. You follow what I'm saying? But they don't know how to manipulate it. They don't know how to do anything with it. They just know it's there. And this dark matter flows through everything in the universe. Now, and in carbon dating, they can only measure things through the life that's in it, the carbon. Okay? So when it comes down to how long a rock been here and all that, hey, duh, they don't know. If they know fossils around it, they don't know. They can't determine. But dark matter, okay, the amount of dark matter, okay, interacting with objects will tell them exactly how long that stone been there. They ain't got to that point yet. They will. They're working on it. I mean, we're talking about God. We're talking about designers. They're going to get to a whole bunch of stuff that they haven't got through yet. So I'm talking about things that they haven't done yet. Well, I'm going to say as far as I know, because they don't call me and tell me everything. Oh, Brother Elohim, we figured out how to do so and so. No, they don't. So I'm saying as far as I know, they don't know. Okay, because they're still using the dark carbon dating process to measure stuff, you know? But like I said, they're gods. We all are gods. They're designers. And they're going to come up with some new stuff. They're going to come up with some different things. They're going to figure this out. When they listen to this show, and I don't think they don't listen to every one of my shows. When they listen to this show and they hear this talk, they're going to say, dark matter, huh? Well, we know it's there. Let's spend some more time on that dark matter, you know. They're into quantum physics now. So that's a step towards being able to manipulate dark matter. But in order to manipulate dark matter, they have to learn how to deal with the incorporeal energy that's inside of us. See what I'm saying? Now, they're measuring the energy that flows from the body when the body dies. and they measure the weight of the body before it dies and the weight of the body after it dies. Now, they have to take them for the count of the air, the oxygen that's being released. But there's an energy that leaves, too. And they have a thing that they put over top of the body that will measure the energy that comes out of the body. You follow what I'm saying? And in some cases, the energy went back into the body. You know, this is documented. Some of the energy went back into the body, and whatever the body died from, it woke up, and the body was cured. The body didn't have that particular illness or sickness no more. This is stuff that's documented. I don't know if they're putting it on YouTube, but I didn't get it from YouTube. I didn't get it from the internet. This is stuff that was documented. A little bit before the internet was running around here, you know, they had book kinds of stuff in books and stuff like that. There, they made movies about this stuff. I'm just saying, you know, but you got to remember, I'm here before the internet. All right, so we was getting information long before Google. See what I'm saying? A lot of us don't really need Google because some of the information we had before Google came around. You know, but what I'm getting at. While I hang in Genesis so much, because why Genesis is such a big book? Because it's the first step to understanding who you are, what you're capable of, okay? When it said that we're going to make all the animals, you know? We're going to make the animals of the sea and the animals of the land, and you can name them. While, if you're making an animal, right, would you make a baby animal first? No, you wouldn't make a baby giraffe. Baby giraffe couldn't survive on its own, okay? You couldn't make a baby elephant. The baby elephant, they wouldn't survive on their own because they need nurturing, okay? They need care. All of the babies that come in need care, all right? When you came in, you need care. Are you following the saying? So they would not make the baby first. They would make the adults first through DNA. Look up the experiment what they did on a sheep called Lucy. They called the sheep Lucy. There was a female they called Lucy, too. But we're talking about the sheep. Look at the experiments they did with the sheep cloning. You understand what I'm saying? Everything that I'm saying, there's some credibility with it because you can go and check a lot of this stuff out. All right? Now, here they say, well, how do we make the planets? Well, I'm not going to get into that today. That's pre-Bible. The Bible didn't get into how it was done. Just tell me that it was done and who did it. Men and women did it. So if men and women did it, you can definitely figure out how they did it. Because we're coming to that. We're coming to that point, right? Another question that that's being thrown around out there. They say, who were the first people on the planet? You know? That's in Genesis 2. You know? See, once you understand the codes, you know what's going on. Because when I say let us make men and women, they will talk about procreating. When men and women make men and women, they're making babies. All right? And they had 1,000 years between that time of Adam and Eve. All right? We check the scripture. It's right there. See what I'm saying? Now, where was those babies that they made? Where did they put them at? They put them on a planet. Now, wait a minute. How could they put them on a planet and nobody knew they was here? How are we talking when we get into Adam and Eve? Well, nobody here but Adam and Eve. That's not true because if Cain slew Abel and when he left, he went and got married. Where in the world did he find a wife out there? There's nobody there but them. See, that's what I'm saying. Once you understand the code, you know that the first people that were put on the planet were the children of the offspring of the men and women that were, or the gods, see, I'm saying it right now, the gods, because they were no longer men and women, they have grown into their godhood. The gods that made the planet, it was their children that were the first children on the planet. See, when I give you this thought process, and you go back and you read this book, the Bible, you get a whole different insight of what's going on. You follow what I'm saying? King James systematically set this book up by book so you know how to come into your power. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna jump out of Genesis just for a minute. The next book is Leviticus, right? What's so important about Leviticus? Oh, boy. Every time somebody did something wrong, they had to pay a fine. This is getting into the judicial system, into the judicial practices. Who's in charge? Who's doing wrong? What are they doing? How do you punish somebody for being wrong? The people that was in the church, the ministers that did wrong, starting in Leviticus, they had to pay a cow. You know how much a cow is worth now? You know what I'm saying? They had to pay a cow. Now, then some had to pay chickens and some had to pay doves and different things. You read Leviticus from this perspective, okay? They're learning how to judge and give out punishment in the book. One sentinel by the jail, they have to pay fine. If you go back to Africa in the early days, they had no jails. No jails up there. They didn't lock people up for forever because they committed a crime, because we knew better. You know what I mean? We knew better than that. Okay, we wasn't about slavery. Jail is about slavery. It's about putting people to work, making slaves out of them, if I know what I'm saying. And what are they paying these guys? $1 an hour for working in prison? You know what I mean? And the stuff they selling, they getting paid on this stuff. That's why some of the big boys wanted to take over the prisons, because there's money there. There's money to be made there. Anytime you can control somebody's body, you can get paid. You can make a lot of money. If you don't think that controlling somebody's body by controlling their mind, you can make a lot of money, go visit some of these mega churches. Oh, yeah. Think about that for a second. Yeah? You got one guy, I mentioned no name, bought a doggone basketball stadium to have church meetings. What kind of money is this guy raking in? You know, they buying jets, they buying planes, they even $5-6 million houses and stuff. You know what I mean? I'm not mad. If God wanted to give them that kind of money to do that with, then that's fine. But they don't know they got. They're praying to God. The greatest thing that you're supposed to be praying to is the universe, because the universe works for you because of who you are. But you don't know who you are, okay? And they make sure every movie that come out, everything that's come out, they're making sure that you don't know who you are. All right. Now let's just I just talked about a little bit of how do we make the animals, the grass, the fish, the trees, and everything else on the planet. You know, when they break that DNA down, you know, see, that's why when they were talking about the blood of Jesus, it wasn't just talking about blood. Now that people are beginning to understand the nature of the blood, what's in the blood, okay? What they can do with the blood, you know, what's in that blood, the information that's in that blood. You know, but most Christians, when you mention the blood, ask them what they mean by the blood. Ask them what they mean. They don't have a clue. They don't know. They're just saying the blood of Jesus, thinking about when he was crucified on the cross. The blood of Jesus, he spilled his blood. Wasn't about that. It was about something more profound than that. But the thought process that they're giving these people, they don't have a clue to what's going on. And they're walking around living from paycheck to paycheck when the book is telling you exactly what you need to do. I'm telling everybody that's on the line right now, those of you on the line, I want to thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. You know, I'm telling everybody on the line right now, you need to go pick that book back up. And you need to follow me. You know, the way I'm explaining the codes, you actually have to have the book with you. That's another thing. You don't have to read this chapter and this verse. You don't have to go out like that, because I'm giving you a thought process. Once you get the thought process, whether you have the book or not, it doesn't matter, because the thought process is already there. That's the key to waking people up. You have to give them a different thought process. They have to have a new way of thinking about everything. All starts with Psalm 82, knowing who you are. I am a God, okay? Now, I've been a God functioning like a man or a woman for I don't know how long. It's time for me to stop functioning like a man or a woman and start functioning like what I am. If I need something, I need to go home, sit my butt down at the table, get me some pencil and paper out, and figure out a way to get what I want, because you're supposed to be able to have whatever you want, okay? Unless you're talking about control of somebody's body. That's something different. I want this woman, she's so fine. I want this man, he looks so good. No, it doesn't work that way. You follow what I'm saying? We'll talk about that when we talk about love in the early portions of the show. But because they teach obsessionism, not love. See what I'm saying? You can be obsessed with somebody, hook up with them, and be miserable, I don't know what. They don't even know how to love each other. Just crazy for it, crazy. They're just crazy about each other. Don't know why, don't know how to treat each other, none of that stuff. Punch each other, all fighting each other, everything else, because you don't know how to love each other, you know? The whole thing is kind of interesting. But look, I missed my commercial. So we won't do the commercial. I'm going to change the commercial around, too. Anyhow, what evidence do you have that we were incorporeal entities? That's a good one. These are some of the questions that pop up. You follow what I'm saying? We're using the Bible as a base. Okay? Now, in Genesis, see, that takes us right back to Genesis again. If you remember, Adam and Eve couldn't see each other. You know? And it was some, wait a minute. If they were made from the dust of the ground, and God blew the breath of life into them, if they were made from the dust and the ground, how come they couldn't see each other? See, that's what I'm saying. When you start thinking about the story, it gets a little complicated. It gets a little crazy. Oh, man, that Bible is bad. You follow what I'm saying? They were incorporeal entities. See? The story of the dust and blowing breath into them takes you into the cloning process, all right? When he took the rib from Adam, see, the rib is, if you check out the DNA helix and look at the rib, they look the same. That was all about the cloning process, you know what I'm saying? Them not being able to see themselves, they were incorporeal entities. Because God never talked to them in the physical until they turned physical. That's when they heard God walking, God coming to them to tell them, yo, man, what did y'all do? I told y'all not to eat that apple, man. And that turned out, hey, y'all is physical entities now, covering up, trying to figure out what to do next. You see what I'm saying? That was because, see, when they talk about the spirit, they're talking about that incorporeal energy that's inside of you, power of you. That's what controls this physical body. This physical body does what you want it to do. I'm going to give you a wake-up call. And this is a thought process that you need to hold on to. We talk about slave masters, but you are a slave master. Think about it. This physical body is your slave. It will do whatever you tell it to do. So if you're getting high, if you're getting drunk all day long, if you're eating the wrong foods and not doing what you're supposed to do, you have control over this body. You can shut all that down anytime you want, whenever you get ready. You have to put that poison in your body. They're pushing that poison. Oh, I need a drink. I just had a car accident. Oh, I need a drink. You know what I mean? No, you don't. You don't need that. You don't need to put that poison in your system. You follow what I'm saying? Once you know who you are. See, once you know who you are and what you're capable of, there's no limit to what you can do. You are a slave master. And in the physical realm, this is a physical dimension. I might get into a little bit of pre-Bible, but not a lot, but because we don't have a lot of time. But like I said, those who are on the line, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. And anytime you want to talk, all you got to do is hit one on your dial. Hit one on your phone and let me know that you have a comment or a question. And I'll open up your mic and you can say anything. Well, if you want to talk about a business or something that you have, you can do that too. But anyhow, the whole thing was about how important King James was, what he knew. King James was a bad boy. He ruled Ireland and Britain. So he knew what power was. And when he laid this book out, this is why they love the King James Version. because he laid that book out systematically to bring them the power. And they love this book. They know the codes. The first part of Genesis telling you who you are. This is why when Moses came down, they said, well, Moses, hey, man, I can't do it. He said, look, I'm going to make you a god. But the person, Jehovah, that was dealing with Moses, I already knew he was a god. But Moses didn't know. I'm going to make you a god and make Aaron a prophet. So that's evidence in there. That's, you talk about make somebody else a god later on in the book. You know what I'm saying? And then later on, the book, it tells you again. It just flat out tells you, you are all gods. Okay, children of the Most High, and they keep on. Every time I say that, that they bring the thought process. Are we going to die like a man? Sure, you're going to die like a man because you're incorporeal energy in a physical form. The physical form, that's the man and the woman. That designer that can design things that will take us into the universe. That's that incorporeal energy inside of you. That's who you really are. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, the thought processes that we need to get into, access our power. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about power. And this is what King James, when he laid that book out, he laid the book out to bring in a power, but you can't come to power if you don't know what you can do. If you don't know what you can, you don't know what you can do until you know who you are. Once you accept the fact that there's no higher form of life on the planet than me and what I see in that mirror. I am a designer. That makes you a god because you can design your way out of the mess that you're in, okay? Now, they're emulating this god that they're talking about. Well, he's up there like Santa Claus, you know? He knows what you're thinking, knows when you're sleeping, you know, what's so be good for goodness sake, you know? That's why he got the cameras up there, you know? He don't have a chair up there to watch you. He's got a satellite up there to watch you. See what you're doing. Know what you're up to. Not to incorporate yourself. He wants to know what your physical body is doing because that's how he's making his money. What you buy, how you eat, where you sleep, everything, what you watch on TV. They're getting paid off of that. The incorporeal energy that's inside of you basically don't, it needs, well, it needs the four main things, food, clothing, shelter, and security. That's four main things it needs, okay? Now, I went into Leviticus for a minute, but I'm going to tell you something that you don't know, okay? Oh, I can't say you don't know. I don't really know what you know. You got people on the line here. I don't recognize some of these numbers. I don't know you from the campaign. But let me say this here, because I'm dealing with thought process. And these thought processes, they're not that I'm carrying you through, okay? But we need them because we need to stop fighting one another. We need to stop the hate and all the crazy stuff, you know? We need to stop all this stuff. In Leviticus, now remember how they're bringing in the burnt offerings, okay? And they tell them what to do with the animals and stuff to do the burnt offerings, okay? Now, just think about this for a minute, all right? 4th of July, that's when they won the independence, right? How are they giving reference to the Bible on the 4th of July? The barbecue, man. The burnt offerings is how they teach them how to barbecue the animals. So every 4th of July, when you break that barbecue thing out, you're giving, that's a ritual that they do to honor the Bible on the 4th of July. You know what I'm saying? I never heard of nothing like that. Go into Leviticus, read Leviticus, see how they're teaching them how to do the burnt offering. And when you think about how you barbecue in your flesh, you're doing it the same way, you follow what I'm saying? And they have instituted that ritual on the 4th of July. Now, why the 4th of July? Because that's the day that they won, well, they didn't win the independence. That's the day they declared independence and lost. But they declared independence on the 4th of July. I mean, it wasn't the 4th of July. It got me a little screwed up with the stories. But anyhow, with the occult. But on the 4th of July, that's when they're dealing with their independence, okay? And they're paying homage to the Bible with that barbecue ritual, okay? It's a thought process. They respect the book because that book brought them to power. Without that book, they would not have their foot on your neck. All right? Even when they went into Kemet, when they first went into Kemet, they said, man, how can these people have so much? Because when the African kings went into Europe, they dropped so much gold, it changed the whole economic structure over there. You know what I'm saying? Because we were so wealthy. You know what I'm saying? And they said, how do these guys get to be so much, you know? Somebody told them that men and women are God. I said, well, if all men and women are God, that makes us gods too. So that means we can do what they did. They haven't done anything that we can't do. So what did they do? They sent their children into the Kemetic universities to learn. All of them went in Kemet to learn. I'm telling them the ones with certain thought process that we're giving credit for a lot of stuff that they didn't do. But they went into Kemet to learn. And once they learned, what did they do? They started a breeding process. Okay? You think this, you know, because we used to breed animals and every dog and everything else, but we also bred humans. Okay? This is what the Egyptians did. It goes back before the Egyptians. But this is what we were doing. We had a breeding process going on. That's why they didn't allow you to pick your mate. Now you say, oh, man, they made people marry somebody. No, they had a breeding process going on. They put a purebred with a purebred. Humans, too. This is what they were doing. This is how we had the strongest military on the face of the planet until we stopped fighting one another. We went into a higher level of consciousness. And the doggy dog people, right? they couldn't wait. They made peace. Once you make peace, now for those of you on the line, it's another thought process. Peace is a declaration of war. You walk with that peace, brother, peace, sister. You just declare war on them. It's a war of attrition. See, that's the mistake that the Indians make. Indians sign all on peace treaties, but they don't know that all the Europeans was doing was declaring war on them. It's a war of attrition. So what the Indians were supposed to do was start building up their military, the arms race. They were supposed, once they made peace, when somebody was trying to take their stuff, they were supposed to go into an arms race to make sure that they can hold on to whatever they won during the battle. But they didn't go into the arms race. You follow what I'm saying? And the Europeans kept building their military. And what happened? When they got to a certain point, they come in, took over what the Indians had, and put them on reservations. Because they didn't know that they were still at war, even though the peace treaty was signed. To give you another example of that, look what happened in Germany in the First World War. They signed a treaty. They put a limit on the military buildup that the Germans could do. They couldn't have so many planes. They couldn't have this. They couldn't have that. You follow what I'm saying? And this same thing is in place right now. This is why the different countries, okay, only have a certain amount of military, certain amount of this, a certain amount of that, because they're at peace. And they're trying to limit the arms race across the board because they know what peace means. They know that they're still at war. They're not making more of stuff, but they're making the stuff better. The jets are getting better. The battleships are getting better. Everything is getting better. Now, if they have to make more, they can. This is why Obama knew it was so important not to let the auto manufacturers go out of business, because those are the key components on the Second World War, making the military, making all that military armament and stuff. You knock down, you start taking the auto manufacturers out of business, that limits your ability to make war. You know, a lot of people don't know that. But I'm just throwing these thought processes at you so that you can begin thinking a little different than the way you're thinking. There's only two cultures, period. How you dance and sing and the way you dress and run out, that has nothing to do with your culture. Your culture is reap what you sow culture and a dog-eat-dog culture. Those are the only two cultures that exist. The reap what you sow culture is supposed to be over or dominant over the dog-eat-dog culture. When you go back to the founding fathers, I know I say this a few times, when you go back to the founding fathers, right, And I'm not talking about George Washington. They didn't found nothing. They weren't the founding fathers of anything. They were crooks that came in and did a military coup and took over the Continental Congress and turned it into something else. You know what I'm saying? Because they didn't want to work with black or women. They don't want to work with black women. But anyway, the founding fathers, President Hanson and them, they made sure that a civilian was in charge of the military. And civilians are supposed to be religious, dealing with the reap what you sow posture. You know, don't do anything that you don't want done to you. This is science. That's a reap what you sow, and that's actually a science. If you sow two chemicals together, you're going to reap a reaction. You put mathematics on it to control the reaction. That's science, period, across the board, okay? They just don't use reap what you sow part of it because that balances the thought process out, okay? Take that out, and the dog-eat-dog people take whatever they make, and they just go crazy with it, with the nuclear weapons and all that. They got the neutron weapons out here now. That's enough to destroy the face of the planet, and can't destroy it. Well, they could destroy the planet if they just sat back and designed how to do it, but I don't think nobody in their right mind would literally just design how to destroy the planet. But they're coming into the knowledge of the weapons that they can destroy the face of the planet like they did Mars. You keep watching what NASA is doing up there, and I'll tell you what they're finding up there if you're looking, and they'll know that we were on Mars at one time, okay? And a lot of this you can check out, but you have to do your due diligence. You really got to research some of this stuff, because a lot of stuff they don't want you to know, okay? But we're talking about the arms race. And we went into Germany, and then when Hitler came to power, he said, hey, I'm not dealing with that. You know what I mean? That dictator said, hey, you know, this is dog-eat-dog. He embraced dog-eat-dog culture 100%. He didn't care about the read-what-you-saw culture. No, he lied. He set people up. I mean, this guy was something, you know? And the people that didn't do what he wanted to, hey, right to the concentration camp. Not only Jews, but anybody, you know what I mean? Even some of his own people he threw in the concentration camps, you know what I mean? Auschwitz, burn them up, you know? And when he got his army to a certain point, look at the history. What did he do? He started conquering, okay? That's just a fancy word for stealing. He started stealing other people's stuff. Anytime they say, well, this guy was a great conqueror, he's just a great thief. Instead of stealing somebody's bread off the step, he's stealing the whole country. You know what I mean? He's stealing the people that make the bread. He ain't got to worry about stealing the bread no more, you know? But I'm just saying, this whole thing is very interesting. I'm just dropping these thought processes on you just to give you a different way of looking at this stuff, okay? King James set a step-by-step methodology of how to come to power, okay? The first thing was Genesis, so that you know who you are and what you're capable of. The second part is Leviticus, so that you know how to deal with the judicial system, how to handle each other when people do something wrong, how to find them and stuff like that there. You follow what I'm saying? That's Leviticus, okay? I only got about 2 minutes. I'm just going to mention numbers. We'll talk about numbers one day. But in numbers, if you read numbers, it'll tell you where the Social Security system came from. It'll tell you how they picked the men from their tribes and what age and all that to go to war. See what I'm saying? First, you got to know who you are. First, you got to know how to handle people that get out of order. Next thing you got to know is how to set up your military. It's a step-by-step process. Because I ask people all the time, people in the church, I say, well, Abraham, he went to rescue his nephew Lot. Where'd he get an army from? See what I'm saying? It tells you a number where you got a time from, all right? Actually, we're out of time. Those on the line, thank you so much. I appreciate your calling. I have walked the path of being honest and good, and I will keep my mind focused on reading what you sow, and I eagerly embrace all that I have done today to return. So let it be written, so let it be done. We got about a minute left. Remember, we talk about love. Love is the act to make others feel good. If you're not doing things to make the people around you feel good, you're not loving them. And if they're not doing things to make you feel good, they're not loving you. Okay, if you're in a group, try to figure out what to do to make the people in the group feel good. And try to set that as a system when you're in these groups, when you're in a family. Try to do things and make your family feel good, make them feel better. You know, if you're out on the street and you're just coming from work and you know your wife is home and she likes Rocky Road ice cream and we left one nothing there, when you get home, you should have a bag of Rocky Road ice cream in your hand. You know, it's going to be, oh, your knees are stressed out all day. These children's driving me crazy, you know. Learn how to love each other. That's the key to this whole thing. Learn how to make each other feel better, you know, or feel good. I don't know how you make them feel better, but how to make them feel good. A lot of times making them feel good will make them feel better, you know. So those two words are interchangeable sometimes, you know. But like I said, those who are on the line, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in. And we'll be here tomorrow. Tomorrow is Society News Day. So we'll be talking about Society News tomorrow. So tune in and listen to what's going on from a biblical point of view. With that, much love, guys.